Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is TalkSport's weekly motorsport show On Track. I'm John Jackson, and coming up, we're going to hear from F2 driver Taylor Barnard and also British F4 and the championship leader in the F1 Academy, Abby Pulling. But first, exclusive highlights of the past weekend's action in the all-electric Formula E World Championship. It was round 6 and 7 of the season as the championship made its debut on the permanent circuit at Misano on the Adriatic coast of Italy. Some amazing weather, some amazing food. The crowds were loving it as well, and some really scintillating racing. Now, these types of permanent circuits do kind of promote the peloton style of racing, which is fascinating. Drivers vying for position for most of the race, and then suddenly one will break away, and that leads the charge as they jostle for position, and we see some really, really exciting wheel-to-wheel racing. Mitch Evans started the first race on pole position after the duels for Jaguar TCS Racing, and we'll join Lewis McGlade calling the action with 7 laps remaining as drivers started to make their moves.
Fastest lap has just come in from our race leader Antonio Felix da Costa. Jean-Éric Vergne in second position but does have a 5-second time penalty. Then Ollie Rowland, then Gunther, then Dennis, then Evans, then Fenestraz who finds his way into 7th position, then Ticktum and Sergio Sete Câmara, and then Norman Nato. So those ERTs are absolutely flying. What a story it is for them, and if they are able to keep this pace up going into tomorrow's race, then they'll be, looking very, very strong indeed to gain some healthy points here in Italy. A look around the outside from Ollie Rowland, who's trying to get past Jean-Éric Vergne going down into turn 7. He's going to be very committed to try and make that one stick on the DS Penske, because he was talking, we heard in that radio, about the work that's happening between da Costa, and Vergne, and you know how wide they're making the circuit. Of course, Ollie Rowland doesn't fancy any of that, because he wants to work his way through in the second position, but has to settle for the third spot at the moment. I almost thought that as fast as that being set by Wehrlein, but actually he's just gone in for a second bit of attack mode. Wehrlein and Cassidy and Bird are all still in this race, but they're at the back end of the field. Big look there from Nick Catters over from Max Gunther coming down into turn 12. He does take over third position at least. He made it 3 wide with Ollie Rowland and Jean-Éric Vergne, who was unable to get past the pair of them. Had to settle for just getting past Ollie Rowland, who's gone straight around the outside. Ollie Rowland has full third position now. So Ollie Rowland into third spot, Maxi Gunther into fourth. The race team potentially going to switch once more. Straight around the outside, Ollie Rowland goes from third straight up into the first position, all the way around the outside of Antonio Felix da Costa. Jean-Éric Vergne now in third position. There is not long left to go. We complete another lap. 6 laps left to go in the Misano E-Prix. This is only going to take another, well, realistically, another 7 or 8 minutes before we crown our race winner here. It's been absolutely breathless action, and I cannot wait to see more of this, because this is phenomenal. This is proper Formula E. Mitch Evans now trying to work his way into the mix. He currently runs in fourth position. He's trying to work his way onto the podium. There might have been contact in this grouping as well for the podium battle, but all of them keep onto the road. Ollie Rowland, your race leader, now pulls out to a little bit of a margin working down into the turn 8-9 chicane, as there's more damage in the background. I think Stoffel van Dorn has got an issue in 10th position on his front wing, as there was a little bit of a brush there as Max Gunther took over 4th position. A bit of a brush between Gunther and Evans, who, guess what? Evans now has front wing damage. We are seeing a lot of that this afternoon. More looks going down the inside going into the turn 12 hairpin where attack mode is, but most drivers have taken all of their allotment of attack mode. 12 positions gained in this race from Da Costa, who found himself right the way down the back in qualifying after a few struggles back there with Degrassi as well, and has absolutely flown up the order. He had a bit of an average season thus far, did Da Costa, only scoring points in the last two races. Now looking to stick a first podium of the season on to the cards. But Ollie Rowland, your race leader at the moment, well, he's gone the last few races, he's gone third, second, and how desperately he would like to rack up another victory. Only has a single win. We'll be back in Berlin in 2019-2020. It was a long, long, long time ago since we saw Ollie Rowland worked his way out into a victory. He's got a decent amount of percentage of energy, but I will say Da Costa right behind him has a percent more energy. Concerns for some of those towards the back end of the top 10. Fenestraz, Van Doorn, Buemi and Hughes, who have all used potentially too much energy. I think they're a couple of percent lower than Ollie Rowland. As once again, someone skips the chicane. This time it is Norman Nato. So those Andretti's are struggling to keep it within the limits. Here is John-Erik Vern.
He's picking up now. You bet on sucking the guys behind you. A tiny bit less than the guys in front, but slow.
There we go. Now we're receiving the information just to see exactly what's happening with Vern. But again, he does have a 5-second post-race time penalty to deal with. And he currently runs in second position. Ollie Rowland is now flying as he pulls out to nearly a 7/10 lead over Antonio Felix Da Costa, who just worked his way through into second position. Jean-Eric Vern now down into third. Maxi Günther into fourth. Mitch Evans now in fifth spot. Four laps left to go in the Misano E-Prix. So really not very long indeed. It is Nissan leading the race at the moment. They're scoring points with both cars at present because Fenestraz running in ninth position. Those ERT cars I was talking about earlier with Tictum and Sete Camera find themselves down in 7th and 8th position in this race, but looking for their best points haul this season as out onto the backstretch down towards turn 8 and 9 they go once more. Ollie Rowland continues to lead as he pulls the train from one side to the other. The gaps are starting to spread out. They've saved enough energy where they can start attacking this circuit a little bit more. Things are starting to calm down in the race in a certain sense, but they're starting to heat up in others as drivers focusing on championship challenges will be increasing. Of course, Ollie Rowland will be leading the championship after this race if things finish as they stand, but Jake Dennis is trying to throw his hat back into the ring as he battles with Mitch Evans for fifth position, and it is Jake Dennis who comes out on top in that one. So Dennis now up into fifth spot as he tries to find his way past, as once again the side-by-side takes him back out onto the start-finish straight. Bit more separation in the grouping, confirmation of no added laps because we've not had a safety car in this race, so we don't need to re-add any laps to the count. It's just the 28 laps in this Misano E-Prix, of which we have 3 laps left to go. Close for the race lead, though. Ollie Rowland is having the pressure from Antonio Felix Da Costa, who's sending one straight down the inside. That is for the race lead. Antonio Felix Da Costa hits the front of the Misano E-Prix, going through the Turn 5 hairpin, and Ollie Rowland nearly kept his way around the outside. Was unable to do so, though. Da Costa with the best. Scott Elkins jumping in there last minute to tell some information to the drivers. Of course, that information is passed straight out to the drivers. Don't fully know what he said. Something about drivers left, so clearly someone, I think, was going slow, or it might have been about some of the debris on the surface. Either way, Da Costa, your race leader, but with the best energy of the top 7. Sergio Sete Camera, the only driver at the moment in a top grouping who has better energy than him. Sete Camera running in that 8th spot. So things are looking very good for Da Costa. Things are looking very good for Ollie Rowland as well, to be fair, as we'll have just 2 laps left to go. They're going through the penultimate corner now, down towards the final turn. Those 2 left-handers that take us back out onto the start-finish straight is Da Costa leading from Rowland, from Vern with the 5-second time penalty, from Dennis, from Günther, from Evans, from Tictum, from Sete Camera, Van Doorn, Nato, and I will chuck in Fenestraz in that for good measure, because he will move up into the points courtesy of Vern's time penalty after contact between himself and Nick Cassidy earlier on in the race. Here's Jake Dennis's radio.
Got 60 seconds left in attack, still 1% more than Jeff.
So there's that. Rather than that being about attack mode, that is more on how much energy they can just use by just keeping the foot in a little bit longer, no lifting and coasting. So so he's got, you know, 60 seconds, what they've worked out, 1%, more energy to use than Vern, so he can go on the attack a little bit more. That is Jake Dennis to try and take over third position, even though he doesn't necessarily need to get past, because he'll get that position as a freebie, courtesy of the penalty. Jake Dennis wants to go after the race lead, wants to try and battle with Da Costa and with Roland to try and sneak his way through to a potential victory, does Jake Dennis. But at the moment, having to settle for not to go. Final lap of the race, though, has just begun in the Misano E-Prix as we're getting ready to battle for the race lead. Da Costa, your race leader, and Ollie Roland separated by very little, just 0.3 of a second. They have managed to pull away from the grouping behind, though. So Vernis is going to be embroiled in that battle for the third position with Jake Dennis and Gunther, even though he's got that podium, that 5 second time penalty. They're going to work their way through turn seven now. It is a dead straight line down into turn eight and nine before we work our way through a couple of right-handers into turn 12, the hairpin, where you've got attack mode, which they've already used. At the moment, I'd say Da Costa has this right now. He's got 1% extra energy than Ollie Roland as Sam Bird returns his way into pit lane and retires from the Misano E-Prix. Da Costa, at the moment, is absolutely flying at the front of the field. He is keeping a comfortable gap to Ollie Roland behind as he looks for yet another victory in Formula E. The last one that he took was in Cape Town last season as he works his way through the penultimate corner and out towards the final turn. There's going to be nothing for Roland to do except sit here, sit back for second spot and watch Antonio Felix Da Costa come across the line to win an absolutely exhilarating Misano E-Prix. It is Da Costa on top with energy to spare as well.
P1, great job.
This is a DAC attack.
Some thrilling racing, but that's not where the story of this one ends. Hours after the cars crossed the line, race winner Antonio Felix Da Costa for Tag Heuer Porsche was disqualified. It was after the FIA found he was running an illegal throttle spring, something that basically doesn't affect the performance of the car, but it does break the rules. It's not meant to be there. They're meant to use an updated part. That means that Maserati MSG Racing's Maximilian Gunther was promoted to third place, Andretti's Jake Dennis, the reigning world champion, to second, and Oliver Roland bagged his first win of the season for Nissan. We're going to hear from him later in the show, but after one of the most controversial finishes in Formula E history, we had six different winners in the first six races of the season. You're listening to On Track. We're going to hear what happened in the second race of the weekend in Formula E very soon. We'll also hear from F1 Academy driver Abbie Pulling, and next we're going to catch up with F2 driver Taylor Barnard. You're listening to On Track, TalkSport's weekly motorsports show. I'm John Jackson, and you can get this show not only on TalkSport 2 throughout the week, but also as a podcast on the TalkSport Podcast Network. Time to hear now from Taylor Barnard. He's driving for PHM AIX Racing in FIA F2. He's also the reserve driver for Neon McLaren Racing, and last weekend he drove in a test session with the team. And when we got a spare moment after that, I started by asking him how good it felt to be back behind the Gen 3 electric Formula E.
Yeah, of course, I've been working with the team closely for quite a long time now, especially since Valencia. Yeah, my second time in the car, after doing so much sessions in the sim and being trackside, like supporting Sam and Jake, it was quite nice to drive the car again, to say the least. Yeah, a good session. I was very fast, so that's definitely another positive. And we got through the run plan, which was, I think, more important for the guys this weekend, so a good support for them.
Out of all the drivers I saw out there, it felt like you were giving it the most, actually. I saw there's a few moments where maybe things weren't fully right, but that's because next time you correct it and you find that time.
Yeah.
Have you had much advice from Sam and from Jake? Because we speak to them a lot on TalkSport, and we know that they're fun guys, but we also know that they're really dialed in, they're really focused, and also really experienced in motorsports. And obviously Sam is kind of Mr. Formula E. He's been here since the very start. So what kind of things have they been saying to you along the way?
I mean, to be honest, it's everything. I ask Sam and Jake loads of questions all the time. I think they're getting a bit annoyed with me now, how many questions I'm asking. But yeah, they're both guys that are full of knowledge, and especially motorsport knowledge, you know, not just motorsport, but just life knowledge, honestly. They're a lot older than me. They have a lot more experience. So yeah, it's great to be in the team with them and to just try and extract as much information from them as I can.
And I guess they've done similar things to you, sort of working your way up the junior series where you are now, and then they've gone on to do things. So you can kind of see, as your career, and I'm sure your career is, as you're on the you know the F series ladder, F1 is probably the dream for you, but correct me if I'm wrong, but they have shown that you can go and do other things and succeed and have great careers in motorsport.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's other routes than F1, but F1 is my dream, and that's obviously what I want to get to. But yeah, like I said, you can still have a great career, not necessarily in F1. So yeah, I think guys like Sam and Jake are a great example. I've spoken to them about things like, yeah, racing in Formula E and how's it having a career not in F1. And yeah, it's not really, yeah, just like about racing. Like I said, it's about life as well and the career choices and things like that. So yeah, it's great talking to them about things like that.
It does feel like here in Misano there are, you know, advantageous routes you can take using the nicely painted sort of runoff areas there, and we see some sausage curbs. And I think that Lucas Degrassi, who's very keen on talking about cars and tracks and everything, and he's been round, and I don't know whether they made any of the changes that he suggested. When you look at a new track as a driver, I guess that's why you do a track walk. You're kind of looking at what the surfaces are, and that's probably quite important, even more in Formula E, with you know, some street tracks not having the same surface all the way around. Talk to me about a track walk then. You know, what kind of things are you looking for? Is it that kind of thing that I've just explained?
Well, I mean, this track is track limit specific particularly. You know, you look at everything, like the curb heights of how much the car's going to bottom out, how much track you can use on entry exit, like track limits wise, the tarmac, the roughness. There's so many different things that each individual person on the track walk, engineers, drivers, tire guys, there's everyone on the track walk that are doing their own specific thing. But as a driver particularly, I would say, yeah, like track limits is probably the biggest thing, especially here on a permanent circuit. You kind of just, not only that, you look at like the camber of the corners as well. And then when you look at it from like in reverse, it looks a little bit different and you can see different things. So doing a track walk, in my opinion, especially if you've done the track, like the same track 10 years in a row, I still think that there's things that you learn on the 10th year of walking the track. So there's no harm to take an hour of your preparation day to do a track walk. And it's quite nice to walk the track as well. Like,
well, I did it this morning. It's very, very nice.
Exactly.
Here, and nice weather, and it seems like one of the nicer tracks to walk around here.
Exactly.
It's not in the city centre and things like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a golfer going for a putt, I guess, and making sure they know what the green looks like and looking at it from all directions.
Yeah, exactly.
You get a bit longer to walk on a track that I don't think a golfer would maybe have 48 minutes to an hour or whatever. Talk me through what a day is like as a reserve driver then, because you have travelled with Neil McLaren for the season so far, and I see you around. And you have to be ready, don't you? Because if one of these drivers can't race, you have to be ready to jump into the car. So
yeah.
what does your day look like? What kind of things, what kind of meetings are you in? Are you in all the meetings with drivers? Is there anything different you do than them? Talk to me about it.
I mean, the minimum that I would do is the same as the drivers in terms of meetings. There's additional engineering meetings, which I join just because I think it's quite interesting and there's no harm in me being there and learning a little bit more. Yeah, I mean, I've travelled with the team for a few of the rounds so far this year, and my day doesn't look as busy as maybe I'd like to, but like you said, my job is to be there and be ready, and most of the preparation for a weekend like that comes already before the weekend, like in the simulator and things like that. But yeah, a lot of meetings on track, definitely throughout the sessions. And I mean, even at the end of the day, you know, there's many engineering meetings which I don't necessarily have to attend, but I enjoy it. I like it.
Hey, it sounds like you like learning, which I think is a really good thing. And people don't realise, but maybe they do these days, actually, with, you know, the games that you can play and sim racing, how much data you have to look at there.
Yeah.
Do you ever get bored of looking at charts and figures and things like that? Or is it like another language that you're reading that is fascinating to you?
Meetings can be long and they can be sometimes tiring, but when it's all about the one sport that you love and you've dedicated your life to, I never get bored of it. Like, even when I go home, the only thing I realistically do is gym and sim. So even when I'm at home, I'm never bored of the grass and the simulator and the driving, so I can never get tired
gym
of that.
Gym and sim.
Yeah.
I love that. So obviously you did F3 last season. You're now doing F2.
Mm-hmm.
So the last round of F2 was what, Australia?
Yes.
Talk to me about your season. How is it all going? And what's the jump been like from F3 to F2?
The car is very different in terms of driving style. I've struggled a little bit for the first couple of races, but we've got a couple of days testing coming up in Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping to make some good steps forward. But, you know, as a driver, I'm here learning as much as I can from these guys and Neil McLaren. And yeah, you know, I'm learning a lot from Sam and Jake as well. I'm trying to take as much as I can from this to Formula 2. It's obviously not the same car, but in terms of experience with the engineers and things like that, I'm taking as much as I can over there. And yeah, I hope after these 3 days of testing in the middle of the season that we can make some big steps forward and get some points.
You're not the only driver that's racing in one series and also doing a reserve driver role. Obviously, Zane Maloney is there as well.
Yeah.
And he's also a reserve driver for F1 as well, so he's potentially even busier.
Yeah.
Do you ever talk to the other drivers that are doing all these things? Because it is a lot of travel for someone who's, you know, you're very young and, you know, it's hard to like hang out with people that you want to hang out with or see family. It's, you know, it's a big commitment so young.
Yeah, it's definitely a big commitment and you don't really get much time to yourself, but I guess that's part of the sport and you dedicate your whole life to it. And I have since I'm 7 years old, so I think I can sacrifice a little bit of that time to be a dedicated racing driver.
It makes sense. Right, I've got three quickfire questions to end. I just need a name. You can elaborate if you'd like to. Who's your racing hero? Who made you want to get into motor racing?
Ayrton Senna.
I mean, I don't have to ask you why, really, with that one, do I? Who's been the most fun person that you've raced against? And this can be any part of your career, from karting all the way up to where you are now.
Oh, that's a tricky question.
Maybe you've had a good battle with them, or maybe they've been an absolute nightmare and they always seem to beat you. There's got to be one or two people. I'll let you have two names if you need two.
I mean, Antonelli's probably the biggest name I've raced against. I've been battling him since karting, so I'd say, yeah, I've always been battling him and he's definitely a tough competitor.
And finally, who's been your best teammate so far in your career?
That is tough. I'd say my current teammate, Joshua Dirksen.
Mm-hmm.
We've got on great so far this season, and as we're both rookies, we really need to bounce off each other as much as we can. And I think at the minute we're doing a great job in terms of teamwork. So I would say Josh, yeah, he's a good teammate.
Perfect. Just talking about Kimi Antonelli, he does manage to go to Mercedes. That's a pretty quick rise for him. And, you know, you've sort of risen very quickly as well. Do you think it's the kind of thing that he will just, you know, you said he's a pretty tough competitor, just jump in that car and just run away with it?
I mean, you've seen Biermann jumped in Saudi Arabia and he did a pretty good job. Both of them are very, very good drivers. I don't doubt that he will jump to Mercedes if he does and do a good job.
Well, yeah, there's some seriously good drivers in F2 as always this season, and that is one of them, Taylor Barnard, reserve driver for Neon McLaren and also racing in FIA F2 for PHM AIX Racing. There we go. He's not the last driver we're going to hear from today, though. Abby Pulling will be on the show ahead of the start of the new British F4 season. We're also going to hear from Ollie Rowland after he won that first race of the weekend in the Formula E World Championship. And we'll also hear from the driver who won the second race as we bring you exclusive highlights of that race next here on Track. You're with On Track, TalkSport's weekly motorsport show. I'm John Jackson, and we're bringing you exclusive highlights of the Formula E World Championship Round 6 and 7. We've already heard Round 6, and now it's time for Round 7. So Neon McLaren's Jake Hughes showed huge pace all weekend. He's raced at this track at Misano before. He started on pole for the second race, but don't count out TAG Heuer Porsche's Antonio Felix da Costa. He had a point to prove after being disqualified in the first race just 24 hours before. Let's join commentator Lewis McGlade calling the action with five laps to go.
Ollie Rowland going for the race lead, going down at a turn five. He looks to the inside for the Nissan Formula E team, and it will be Ollie Rowland to take over the race lead with a big lunge down the inside. Pascal Wehrlein is now going to be running in second position, looking backwards to Jake Dennis, who is filling up his mirrors for the Andretti team. And Jake Dennis, obviously the champion last year, is looking to march his way to make it a third consecutive podium for Jake Dennis. Ollie Rowland's looking for five consecutive podiums in Formula E. And I mean, I've never seen Ollie Rowland drive this well. I mean, I've seen him do a lot of things, but the way he is driving at the moment in Formula E is absolutely incredible. And the fact that he's leading once again shows his strength and determination for the Nissan Formula E team. Of course, the issues that he had last season with Mahindra left, joined the Nissan Formula E team and has settled in so brilliant. It did take him a couple of races, mind, to settle into the team. But now he is absolutely flying. The top two have built a fair margin over Jake Dennis once again as we're getting a look at the energy. Nick Cassidy has 2% more than Pascal Wehrlein. Nick Cassidy currently runs in sixth position. The important bit from that is he has then 4% more than Ollie Rowland, your race leader. Is Nick Cassidy in sixth position the potential favourite to go and take victory this afternoon? He runs in sixth position. He was leading the championship after the first three races. He finished third, third and first. And from that point on, he has scored just 4 points in the take the FIA Formula E World Championship. Could Nick Cassidy throw this one right back into the mix this afternoon? At the moment, he's got to close down and pass Max Gunther, Nico Müller, who sit directly ahead of him, and then Jake Dennis as well, and then close down what is now a one-second margin between Pascal Wehrlein and Jake Dennis for second position. Fast as that comes in from Antonio Felix da Costa at the rear of the field. There is a point in doing so. I did see that Sam Bird recently had the fastest lap of the race, but obviously, I think those are the points he was more looking for, was the ones inside the top 10, as he sits a couple of seconds behind Dan Ticktum in 14th position. Once again, for the race lead, it is very close. 22 laps about to be complete. They work their way through the penultimate corner of this race circuit. 0.3 of a second separating first and second. Ollie Rowland looking for back-to-back victories, looking for his third win in Formula E. Pascal Wehrlein looking for yet another one, his second of the season. Of course, they're all looking for their second win of the season because no one has won more than once this season. Our race winners, Ollie Rowland, Jake Dennis, Max Gunther, Pascal Wehrlein, Nick Cassidy and Sam Bird. The six race winners in six races to start out the 2024 season. We're on lap 23 now. We'll get an update at the end of this lap as to how many laps will be added on. I do believe it will be two added laps back onto the Misano E3. Might just be one, but Race Control, Scott Elkins from Race Control, will let us all know in just a few moments' time. Pascal Wehrlein struggling to keep up with the rapid pace of Ollie Rowland, but the concern being is Ollie Rowland flying a little bit too hard at the moment? Is he pushing that energy a little bit too far? I will remind you of the Sao Paulo E3. Jake Dennis had more energy than everyone else late on in the race, but I think it by 2 or 3%, and still dropped back because it was about he couldn't use that energy late on because it was too hot, the batteries were getting too hot, and just didn't really have the space to push any harder. You still got to conserve the other bits of the car, and so those that have conserved enough energy, the question will be, have they conserved too much energy, like Nick Cassidy, where they can't actually use it? Through the final corner they go to complete lap 23, and I'll get you the update from Race Control. No added laps. That is very interesting indeed. So we will be running the 26 lap race distance as is. I'm sure the Nissan Formula E team probably calculated that one, and that's why they've not really been too super bothered. Here's Jake Dennis.
Focus, min speed, T12. I know you're struggling. Focus.
But yes, minimum speed, man. I'm driving something different to them.
I'm driving something different to them. Clearly, that to me is telling of a driver who is not particularly pleased about the balance of his car. Maybe Jake Dennis in that third position, not particularly happy. I'm talking about minimum speed going through turn 12. That's the hairpin where attack mode is, a kind of a medium to fast speed hairpin. So being told that maybe he's going a little bit too slow as his minimum speed there, and is dropping back into the clutches of Nico Müller, and that's maybe where he's losing the majority of the lap time at the moment in that and. Andretti. As we get ready for the penultimate lap of the race, Ollie Rowland is leading the race from Pascal Wehrlein. Jake Dennis in third position. Degrassi's just been given a 5-second time penalty for causing a collision. Degrassi runs in 11th spot. We start the penultimate lap of the race. I'll run you through the order. Ollie Rowland leading the race by around about half a second. He is flying at the moment, looking to take the clean sweep here at Misano. Pascal Wehrlein runs in second position. Jake Dennis in third. Nico Müller in fourth. Nick Cassidy in fifth, Max Gunther in sixth position, Jake Hughes runs in seventh, Jean-Éric Vergne, Sergio Seta Câmara and Sasha Fenestraz rounding out the top 10 positions at the moment in the Misano E-Prix. Not long left to go, around about 5 kilometres from where they are as they head their way into turn 6 and 7, effectively the furthest point away from the pit straight, from the start-finish straight. They work their way around this double apex right-hander. The battle for third position is incredibly close as Nico Müller is looking to take the first podium for the Apricot team this season, and at the moment he is looking to try and find any way past Jake Dennis for that third position. Jake Dennis though is doing a good job to try and hang on there, being joined now in the fight by Nick Cassidy. Jake Hughes has just gone straight onto the chicane and a battle for sixth position with Max Gunther, and so Jake Hughes is probably going to drop back even to eighth spot behind Jean-Éric Vergne at the moment. He hangs on to the sixth position ahead of Max Gunther, but I'm pretty sure he'll be told by Race Control to give that one up. The Andretti team watch on, barely able to keep their eyes on the screen as Jake Dennis is being hounded by Nico Müller. And of course now Nick Cassidy looking for his first podium since round three of the season. We begin the final lap of the race and Ollie Rowland is leading by a comfortable 1.4 seconds. They have managed this race absolutely brilliantly. Nick Cassidy is knocking at the door for the podium. He sits in fifth position at the moment, but has the best energy of anyone in this race right now. Nick Cassidy for the Jaguar TCS Racing Team. He looks to the inside to take fourth position from Nico Müller. Cannot find a way past. Out wide. Oh, Ollie Rowland! Ollie Rowland's got a problem! Ollie Rowland coming out of turn 12 has got some major issue. Is he out of energy? Have they miscalculated? I don't know what's happened to the Nissan Formula E team, but Ollie Rowland, championship leader, is now out of the Misano E-Prix on the final lap. He's out of energy. How have they miscalculated it that badly? What has happened to the Nissan Formula E team? Pascal Wehrlein is now your race leader. He's got 2% of energy left to go, so he'll be absolutely fine. Jake Dennis now runs in second position after clearing past, or sorry, rather from fending from Müller. Nick Cassidy is knocking at the door to try and sneak his way back onto the podium for the first time since round three this season. He almost makes contact with the App Cupra car, and at the moment it's going to be Jake Dennis to come through to take second position. They work their way through the penultimate corner now, but who else is close on energy? I think Jake Dennis might be with the defensive line he's taking. Out through the final corner since the first round of the season is Pascal Wehrlein to take his second victory of 2024, and it will be in second position, an incredibly close battle with Jake Dennis managing to beat out Nick Cassidy and Nico Müller. Jake Hughes finds his way in the fifth spot. Fenestra's up to sixth for Nissan on the final lap to the race. Sergio Sette Camera into seventh. What a crazy end to the Misano E-Prix. Let's talk to Wehrlein.
Yeah! Best double winner of the season.
What an absolute weekend of racing in Formula E. That was absolutely incredible. We had the victory from Ollie Rowland yesterday, who will score no points from this run. Pascal Wehrlein, you heard it from the Tag Heuer Porsche team there, takes his second victory of the season, becomes the first double winner of 2024. It's mirroring that incredible season in Formula 1 in 2012, where we saw seven different winners in seven races, kind of on the cusp like that. It's so incredibly open. Here's Wehrlein once more.
Let's make it clean, and let's enjoy that podium.
What a crazy end. One of the most remarkable finishes in Formula E history. Absolutely gutting for Oliver Rowland and Nissan. I caught up with him shortly after the race to find out exactly what happened and what went wrong.
The race was going very well until the last lap where we ran out of energy, but basically we have a number of laps and the car calculates the energy based on the number of laps, and there was an issue on the grid where the car basically didn't have the right amount of laps as we set off the grid, and that's distributed over the amount of laps that we did, and unfortunately it wasn't enough to get us to the end.
When it comes to yesterday, obviously we were all sat there having dinner last night and we found out that you were the race winner. Where were you when you found out that you'd been promoted from second to first?
I was walking from my old hotel to my new hotel because there's too much noise when I had a message. But yeah, look, it was a bit weird, to be honest, especially for something that's not performance enhancing for Antonio. You don't like to win like that, but I think after what happened to me today, I kind of feel like it's balanced itself out a bit.
And I hear you've been telling people that you know, if you've been offered the amount of points you got this weekend before the weekend, you'd be more than happy with that.
100%. Two fifth place, I'd have been happy. That brings 20 points. I've been more than happy, and we took 26. So yeah, I'm super happy, but at the same time, there's a little bit of what could have been.
Oliver Rowland there. He was nailed on for that second win of the weekend, but it was Pascal Wehrlein who came out on top. And I asked the German driver when he could tell that something wasn't right with the car ahead of him.
Honestly, two laps to go when I was always asking for the energy, and it just, his pace didn't match what my team told me his energy would be. So I was not sure if the information is correct or not, but my engineer always told me, no, it's correct. And believe me, trust me, and that's what I did. So it's never sure until you see it happening, what happened in the last lap. But yeah, it turned out to be the right thing, being patient, not defending him, not fighting him hard when he was picking up the pace so hard, because it would have brought us in a very difficult situation then as well in the last lap. So yeah, very happy how the race turned out, and obviously after yesterday, a big redemption.
Monaco coming up next, a street circuit. After racing here on a traditional racing circuit, let's say, are you happy to be going back to the street circuit, and what are you hoping for in Monaco? What's realistic for you?
Yeah, really looking forward to going back to Monaco. It's one of my favorite races in the calendar. Big fan of the track. So last year didn't go well, so we have a bit of work to do to be competitive there. But on the other side, we've been competitive on all tracks this season. So I think if we extract the maximum out of our package, we should do well there. Looking forward to the next couple of weeks. In general, it's a nice moment of the season because we are racing every second week and driving a lot, and I'm enjoying that. So on to the next one.
And that race is coming up on Saturday, the 27th of April, on the famous Monaco streets. We'll bring you all of our usual in-depth coverage, of course, and exclusive highlights here on Track on the TalkSport network. So the championship standings mean that Pascal Wehrlein is the leader on 89 points, level on points with Jake Dennis. He's second on the same, and Max Gunter is third on 80 points with Nick Cassidy behind in fourth. There's one more part of this show coming up. We're going to stick closer to home. We're going to hear from Abby Pulling. She's the championship leader in the F1 Academy, and she's also back in British F4 this year.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is TalkSport's weekly motorsport show on Track. I'm John Jackson, and time to hear from our fourth driver of the show now, if we include the two drivers who won in Formula E, Abby Pulling. She's back driving in British F4. She's also the championship leader in the Formula One Academy after the first round in Saudi Arabia. British F4, of course, alongside the British Touring Car Championship, as always, starts at Donington Park on the final weekend of the month. But Abby, of course, already had that one race weekend of the season in the Formula One Academy. She is top of the table. Great start from her. And Bradley Hayden spoke to her about the positive opening round in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, it's been an incredible start to the year. I didn't expect to be leading the championship coming out of the weekend. I just went into it with an open mind, and yeah, here we are, top of the times. Yeah, looking forward to getting to Miami soon, to be honest.
And what did you make of that like whole experience in Jeddah? Was there a particular favourite moment for you or anything like that?
I just think the weekend as a whole was so much fun. I think obviously the moment I found out that I'd won, it was on the last lap of the Formula One, and that was when all the fireworks went off. So as the announcement came out, the fireworks started going off, and I was like, oh, they're for me, really.
And you mentioned about the second race there. What was your feelings after that, being told late on or after the race had happened that you'd won it? And obviously, have you spoken to Dorian Pinn since that?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's not how I want to be winning races. It's, you know, you want to do the talking on track, but obviously I'll take the points. It's going to be a long championship. But I've been on the receiving end of it as well. Last year, I had a few unfortunate things, which, you know, took away a double pole at the first round. So it's, I can fully sympathise with how Dorian's feeling. And it's, yeah, it's not nice.
And on Dorian as well, it seems like you two are going to have a great battle this year. How much of a tough competitor is she?
Yeah, we definitely have quite a healthy rivalry. I'll be cracking some jokes in some of the photos. There's a photo of me and her sat on a sofa with our trophies, and I've just got like I'm absolutely cackling at something. I can't remember what was said, but yeah, she's a very experienced and yeah, very talented driver, and you know, it's really, I think, pushing everyone forward to raise their game. Everyone wants to be better than each other, you know.
And on that opening weekend in Jeddah for you, it was the same weekend that another bright young English talent in Oliver Behrmann got to drive in F1 that weekend. And seeing him drive for Ferrari that weekend, does that sort of give you maybe extra motivation to create your own pathway and follow that pathway in the future?
Yeah, I mean, what Oliver did was incredible. You know, he qualified on pole in Formula 2 and then got the call up, by the way, we need you in the F1 car. I think he only did FP3 before he went into F1 qualifying. He almost, you know, bumped out 7-time world champion out of Q2. So yeah, of course I want to be, you know, getting there, and you know, it's very inspiring what he's done, but I'm on my own pathway. You know, I'm gonna keep doing what I'm doing, and hopefully, you know, the opportunities come.
And if you did get that drive in F1 one day, how much would that mean for you to be one of the first women to have competed in F1 for a long period of time?
Yeah, well, I mean, for any driver, it's a huge thing. You know, you spend your whole life towards this one goal, and you know, if you achieve that goal, it's so fulfilling. You know, it's not about being the first female on the grid. For me, it's just about being on the grid and being among, you know, 19 of the other world's best drivers. That would what it would be for me.
And the whole F1 Academy setup and what Susie Wolf is trying to do, how important is that to try and create more opportunities for young girls and create more of a pathway for young girls to get involved in a motorsport and see like it's a realistic career for them?
When I first came into single seaters, it was, like I say, not a clear pathway. I mean, especially with the financial restraints that I had. I'm very lucky now, being with BWT Alpine F1 team, that, you know, they put their faith in me for a second year in a row, and I'm, you know, running their livery, and it, you know, it shows other females that, look, this is possible, and you know, they see it on the TV because it's now, you know, live, and it's, you know, broadcast everywhere. You know, you got to see it to believe it, and that's exactly what Susie and the F1 Academy is doing.
And how are you feeling in the car then as we gear up for the second round in Miami? And I suppose what's the dream this season? Do you really believe that after that first round in Saudi Arabia that you can be up there and challenging for the title coming into the season?
At the moment, I'm taking it round by round. You know, it's still early doors. It's going to be a long championship, and I'll get points and you know, try and get the maximum I can out of every weekend. Obviously, you know, coming out of the first race championship leader, you want to maintain that. But I think it's important to go into it with the right mindset, you know, not get too ahead of yourself, not get complacent, just keep working on the job in hand, focusing on the prep. You know, at the end of the day, it's all about the process. The outcome is just a byproduct of that.
And you're also going to be competing in British F4 this season alongside your drive in the F1 Academy. And I wonder what the thought process was behind that and how much you're looking forward to the F4 season kicking off too.
I'm over the moon to be racing in it again. I feel like I've got unfinished business there, to be honest. I competed in it in 2021 and unfortunately ran out of funding. And, you know, I got the opportunity this year to compete again. A huge thank you to Roding Cars for giving me that opportunity. And I'm just looking forward to be racing in a mixed competition again. I've been racing just against the females for the last couple of years, but you know, I'm back and I'm buzzing. I want to get started.
And when you were growing up and sort of getting in a karting and driving early doors, what drivers did you really look up to or inspire you when you were growing up?
It was actually a rider, not a driver. Valentino Rossi was a huge inspiration for me. I watched him as a young kid growing up. I watched MotoGP because my dad raced on motorbikes himself. So it's just everything about him, really. It's his attitude and his brand and his image, and how much he loves the sport, not just as a motorbike rider, but he tries everything. He tries rallies, done Bathurst 12 hour, and now he's all over the place. He's all for enjoying it. And I think I have carried that through my career. I just want to make sure I'm always enjoying it. And I always say happy driver is a fast driver.
You're not the first person to say Valentino to me. Have your paths ever crossed with him? Have you ever got to meet him?
No, God, I don't know what I would do. Like, I don't get starstruck, but I feel like if I was to meet Valentino, I wouldn't know what to say to him. I'd just be like, just thanks for being you. I think he's just, yeah, such a character. And yeah, it would be a dream come true to meet him.
Well, you're a Spurs fan. I saw your Instagram page recently. The club sent you your own sort of shirt with your name on it in the post. How much did that mean to you?
Yeah, it was super special. I really didn't expect it. It all kind of came at once. It was a congratulations for obviously my amazing start to the season, but also it came on my birthday. So I was like, it's kind of a two-in-one deal. yeah, it's really cool. And I didn't have this year's shirt, actually. I had one of the last season shirts, so it was, or later season shirts. So it's a nice to add to my wardrobe, really.
You say you don't get starstruck very often, but would you get starstruck if you ever got to meet Big Ange going forward? How much are you enjoying him, his start to the season, and what he's doing at Spurs so far?
Yeah, I think he's doing a great job. You know, he's only been there for a short period of time, but he's made such an impact. And you can see, you know, there's a bit more flair on the pitch. You know, whatever he's doing a good job. Obviously, it's not perfect. It's a hard sport. You know, I think there's a few parallels with especially the mental side from football to motorsport. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, with more time, what he can do.
Is he the man, do you think, that is finally going to help Spurs win a trophy in the coming years?
I mean, I hope so. You know, I think it's definitely working. You know, they're improving. Like I say, there's still things to work on, but yeah, hopefully he manages to get us the trophy.
and who's your favourite Tottenham player, dare I ask?
I've got a big soft spot for Heung-min Son. He's he's awesome. I think he's the leader, he's the captain, and he really shows his emotion on the pitch as well. And I just love that because I wear my heart on my sleeve, and so does he.
What would you do if one day you're sort of gearing up for your race either in the F1 Academy or an F4 or maybe an F1 one day, and you see Heung-min Son there standing in your garage supporting you and rooting you on?
I'd just be like, oh my God, like, I think I would be starstruck. That's one of the moments where I'd be like, even now, I don't know what to say. It'd be really cool because obviously I've been watching him a lot recently, and yeah, it would be nice if he was to see what I was doing as well.
Well, hopefully that happens one day. But Abby, lastly, it's been great to speak to you. What would the dream then 2024 look like for yourself then?
Yeah, I think, you know, I want to be challenging for the championship come the end of the season. And yeah, who knows? I'll just keep working on that. But also, yeah, some race wins in British F4 and podiums, and that would also be nice. I'm missing some of the races this season because they clash. So the championship's probably off the cards for that, but, you know, I can take a few more risks with it as well.
Well, I imagine some more wins coming Abby's way this season. Abby Pulling there, speaking to TalkSport's Bradley Hayden. She'll be driving for Rodin this season, not only in the Formula One Academy, but also back in British F4. It starts at Donington Park at the end of the month. Tickets still available for that. And of course, if you want to go and watch the Formula One Academy next round, you'll need to go over to Miami. That is the weekend after, in support of the Formula One Miami Grand Prix. Thank you very much for listening to On Track. That's all we've got time for this week. If you missed any of the show, you can get us as a podcast on the TalkSport Podcast Network. Just search On Track TalkSport. You'll get it. You can hit subscribe there. Leave us a rating, leave us a review, and we will have a brand new show for you on TalkSport 2 at 2 p.m. next Tuesday.